Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Yesterday, we moved into 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and the first section has to do with how to properly evaluate a minister of the gospel. And that's a pretty important subject. People have all kinds of opinions about ministers and how they should be understood, and many times people have very wrong and unbiblical ideas of ministers and how they should be viewed and what their job description is and who they are accountable to and so forth and so on. And so Paul sets out to set the record straight, to make it clear what a minister is and how he is to be viewed and understood by the people of God. And of course, he's doing this because there were many in the Corinthian congregation who did not view Paul aright, and there were others who did not view Apollos correctly, another preacher who had had a good ministry there in Corinth, and others who didn't view Peter, that is Cephas, aright, another apostle who'd had a good ministry in Corinth, and probably others could have been named as well. I'm sure Timothy had preached there, and Silas had preached there, and Titus had preached there. I think all of these men had preached there, and they might all have been included in this division that was going on in the church, but the only names that are mentioned are Paul and Apollos and Cephas. You're all divided up. One says I'm of Paul, one says I'm of Apollos, one says I am Cephas. And you've got to stop that nonsense, says Paul, but here I want to teach you something. Let's just get down to basics. You may not understand this. You may not know how a minister ought to be viewed by the people of God, so let's clarify that so that we can get that right and move on to some other understandings. And so that's where we are going on this Wednesday, June 30. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for helping us. A proper view of ministers. Verse 1, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. This is quickly by way of review. Servants of Christ. The word servant there is of a rather low-level servant. Ministers are, first and foremost, servants, slaves, bond slaves, but not of the church, not of the deacons, not of a general denominational superintendent, but they are slaves of Christ. Christ is their master, and he is the one that they answer to primarily. Now, I don't want to so emphasize that as to say that a pastor, for example, has no accountability to the congregation, no accountability to people. Of course he does. But whenever his sense of accountability to the congregation exceeds his sense of accountability to Jesus Christ, he has a problem, and the church has a problem. He has a problem in that he's not being faithful to the one that he is primarily responsible to. He's forgotten whose servant he is. And the church has a problem because they now have a minister that they may be able to manage and order around and and do the things that they want him to do, but what the cost of that is that they have lost a man. They've lost having a faithful man who is answerable to Christ, who has his eyes on Christ, and whose primary accountability is to Christ. And when you lose that, you lose the power and effect that Christ has designed into that office of minister, and you lose the powerful working of the Holy Spirit of God in the life of that minister on behalf of the congregation. You're going to have to decide what you want in a minister, and you need to decide correctly. Okay? You're determined you're going to have a minister that you can control? Fine. No, that's not fine, because you're going to end up with somebody who is not going to be a faithful minister of Christ. You've got to understand that he is first accountable to Christ. So, the right way to regard ministers is, number one, as a servant of Christ, and number two, as a steward of the mysteries of God. A steward, as I pointed out yesterday, is a high-ranking servant entrusted with management. He's a manager. He's a supervisor. He is, to use another term for pastor, he is a bishop, an overseer. And as I said yesterday, I'm repeating some of these things now, because I know that all of you are not here all the time for every broadcast. But what that means is, in the case of a steward, in his relationship to the master, he was a slave, but in his relationship to the other slaves, he was a master. Think of Joseph in Potiphar's house. He went in at the bottom rung of the ladder, so to speak, as just another household servant, household slave, with no more rank and authority than anybody else, but his performance, his integrity, his hard work, his faithfulness, his strong principles, and particularly the blessing of God upon his life, caused him to rise to the rank of a supervisor. And we're told that Potiphar turned everything over to Joseph, that Joseph ran everything in his household. In fact, when Joseph was being seduced by Potiphar's wife, you remember, he said to her, "I could not sin against my master by having a relationship with you. My master has placed everything under my authority but you. I am in charge of everything in this house. I'm in charge of the finances. I'm in charge of the work schedules. I'm in charge of and the work assignments. I'm in charge of everything. I'm in charge of the distribution of resources and the marketing of the crops. And I'm in charge of everything here. It's all been entrusted to me. Everything's been given to me except you. And I'm not going to be unfaithful to my master and act as if I have freedom to consort with you. I don't. I know exactly what my responsibilities are, and I know what my boundaries are. I know the large domain that has been given to me to oversee, but you're not part of that." And so I say it again. Joseph, in his relationship to Potiphar, was a slave, high-ranking slave, but Joseph, to the other slaves, was a master. He was second only to Potiphar. And later, when he rose to the throne of Egypt, he was same situation. He was second only to Pharaoh. I don't think he was still considered a slave at that point, but... And so Paul says that's what a minister of the gospel is. He is a steward of the mysteries of God, but he's a high-ranking steward. But he's a steward of the mysteries of God. And that word mystery, which shows up in the New Testament quite often, basically means something that is concealed until it is revealed. That's pretty simple. You say, well, then why use that word mystery? Well, that's just the way the Bible puts it. A mystery in the Bible is something that God conceals, God covers, God shields, God hides until the time he wants to reveal it. The church is called a mystery in the New Testament. The Old Testament didn't have a clear concept of the church. Now, I recognize that there are differences of viewpoint in regard to how much we should think of Old Testament Israel as the church in the wilderness, the church in the Old Testament, and so forth. But one thing is very clear, the concept of, the clear definition of the church as we find it in the New Testament was not revealed in the Old Testament. Things were very different then. And so that was a mystery. Paul calls it a mystery. It was concealed until the time came for it to be revealed. Now, a steward, a minister, is a steward of the mysteries of God. That would include the gospel of Christ, which was very much a mystery until it was revealed. Old Testament saints had some concept of the gospel, but they didn't have a clear concept until Christ came. Nobody did. Nobody could. And so, a minister of the gospel is a steward. He's a steward of the Word of God. And he explains the Word of God. He distributes the mysteries to others, and that's a major responsibility. And so here's how you are to regard a minister of the gospel. You are to think of him, number one, as a servant of Christ. And you are to think of him, number two, as a steward of the mysteries of God. And that leads us, therefore, in verse 2, to telling us how we are to evaluate the performance of a minister. Verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And there it is in a nutshell. How do you evaluate the performance of a minister of the gospel? How do you know if he's doing his job? Do you evaluate him according to his eloquence in the pulpit? I hope he's effective in his preaching of God's word. I hope there's an aptness to teach that comes through in his delivery. Certainly there must be something of that, but is that the way primarily that you evaluate him? No. Do you evaluate him according to how wise he is in the ways of the world, how quickly he picks up on innovations, how quickly he picks up on new trends, how quickly he introduces the latest fad to the church? If he does that well, some would consider him to be a good minister. He's right on top of things. He's ahead of things. He's really innovative. He really understands what's going on. But that's not it. How do you evaluate him properly? According to his faithfulness to what? Faithfulness to his master's assignment. And what is that? That is to dispense God's word faithfully. That's it. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So here's what you are to regard a minister of the gospel as. Number one, a servant of Christ. And number two, a steward of the mysteries of God, a steward of the Word of God. And so, Paul and Silas and Peter were servants of Christ, and they served the Corinthians, but the Corinthians were not their masters. Christ was, and you evaluate them on how faithful they were to the assignment that was given to them by Christ, and that was to dispense God's word faithfully. That's how you evaluate a minister of the gospel. Is he a faithful preacher of God's word? Does he preach God's word as it is, without compromise, without cutting corners? Does he preach the whole counsel of God faithfully and accurately? If he does, he's a good minister of the gospel. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.